Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for what it does in our lives. So many things can't even be mentioned here in this prayer. But one of the main things is, as they sing, you love us enough to help us and not leave us alone. God, please work in our lives today. Help us to see what the Word of God has for us today, not our neighbors, but for us personally. Father, if there's one here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin, I pray today they'd make the decision to trust Christ. Now, Father, for all this to be accomplished, our pastor needs to have your Holy Spirit power upon him. Fill him and use him this morning for our sake. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
And as you're being seated this morning, I'm going to ask you now to make sure that your electronic devices are off or turned to vibrate, please. They go off during the service. Aliens circling this planet right now will think that you called for the mothership and you will be taken up and removed to another part of the universe. So help us if you would, please. You ever wonder, I think all week long about how to come up with another statement on the thing. I don't work as hard on the sermon as I do on the turn off your stupid cell phone thing, but we work on that, okay? Would you help us there, please? We'd appreciate that today. Ask you not to get up and to move around now and go out of the room and just sit and listen very carefully. These last few Sundays, last Sunday and today, we begin, I don't know if you want to call it a series or not, but I just know and believe this. The Bible has the answer for every issue life brings to us. The Bible has the answer, not an answer, the answer. The Bible's answer is not to be shared with anything else. See, the fact that the Bible has the answer doesn't mean it will be yours unless you embrace what the Bible says. See, now I'll do it my own way, Pastor Johnson. Now, friend, listen to me this morning. It's sad that as you live a little bit longer on this earth and you look back some more on your life and you look at the failures and mistakes of your life, it's sad to look back and see that every failure and mistake that I have ever made, I made contrary to the Word of God. I did what I wanted instead of what God said, and it didn't turn out right. And that was Mike Johnson's fault, not the Bible. I look back, in just a few weeks, I turned 56 years of age. I look back in 56 years, and there's not been one mistake made in my life because I did what the Bible said. I made mistakes because I didn't do or left it out. But now listen, this day and age in which we live, there are a lot of answers out there. But the Bible is the answer. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, Jesus was standing in front of Pilate, being examined by Pilate, this governor. And Pilate asked him the question, what is truth? Jesus is standing there in front of him, the embodiment of truth. And the man had no idea what it was. So let's establish something very simply this morning, very carefully this morning. The Bible has the answer for every issue we face in life. Every one of them. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It'll benefit you in any area of your life, any area of heart, mind, life, relationships, you name it, the Bible has the answer. Now, the point of giving you the answers is not to tell you what I think the answer is, but to show you in the Word of God, this is the answer for the issue you face. And if we'll follow it, the word of God will become a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. If we leave it out, the Bible says we're in trouble. Let me just read you a quick statement here in the scriptures. It says, Proverbs 30 and verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found to be a liar. Don't mess with the Bible. Leave it just like you get it. And I guarantee you, today's message is going to tweak you a little bit. Today, somewhere during this message, you're going to say, no, that can't be right. But we're going to talk to you about one of the greatest things about the Bible is the principles, what it gives us in answers, can sometimes be so specific to deal with a specific issue exactly. And sometimes the answers the Bible gives us are so great and so broad, they cover all of the issues of life. That's what we did last week. Galatians 5:22, just one page over from where you are this morning. The fruit of the Spirit is that product the Holy Spirit will produce in your life. Will counteract anything in your past, present, and deal with anything you face in the future. Because against such there is no law. There's nothing that can stop the Holy Spirit, His product being produced in you. Today we have another one of those great principles. And the principle today is, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Do you realize the principle of sowing and reaping was not taken from nature, but was put in nature by the God who wrote the Bible? Do you realize that? See, this book, ladies and gentlemen, that's when I say the Bible has the answers for the issues of life, it's because this is an eternal book. Psalm 119:89, the Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Do you realize the Bible is as eternal as God himself? And that means before the principle of sowing and reaping ever showed up in nature, God had already written it in his word, and he put it in nature to emphasize and reinforce that you reap what you sow. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we get it. We don't have to have a theologian explain to us the reaping sowing principle. We understand that. What you put in the ground is what you get back. Yes? We reap what we sow, though I don't understand seedless watermelons. Now, how do you grow a seedless watermelon? Never mind. Maybe you don't think about that. But I was eating one last night thinking, how do you grow one of these cotton picking things? It doesn't have any seeds in it. But anyway, I don't understand expiration dates on sour cream. I mean, it's already gone. What's the point? But anyway, the deal is, you have no idea what goes through my mind, ladies and gentlemen. Most of it, unfortunately, goes right through. But the principle of sowing and reaping, we understand that. You don't plant tomato seeds and anticipate watermelons. You don't put corn seed in the ground and want cantaloupe. You're anticipating that what you put in, you're going to get back. And you know that if that seed is effective, that seed will produce what you planted. Years ago, I bought some squash plants at a nursery. And it had the little stickers in it to tell you what type of squash it was. I like yellow crookneck squash. I like zucchini squash. My wife takes it, chops it up. Sometimes she'll saute it with a little olive oil and put a little garlic salt on it. Eat it like that. That's good. Sometimes she'll boil it. Boil it. I said boil it, Yankee. She'll boil it. And then she'll mash it up and then put Ruffles potato chips crumbled on top of it with cheese on top of that. Now that's good stuff right there. Kind of ruins the whole point of the squash, quite frankly, but it's really, really good. And I planted those squash, yellow crookneck squash plants in the yard, watered them, took care of them. They grew up, got the big leaves on them. Here comes the flower. Here comes the squash. That was the fattest, greenest looking crookneck squash I ever saw in my life. I thought, man, there's something wrong with this squash. I'm either near a nuclear power plant or there's something wrong with this squash. It was about that big around and it was dark green. And then I looked at it as it grew a little further, and it was acorn squash. It wasn't yellow crookneck squash. Some bozo went in that nursery and pulled all the tabs off and changed them over on us. And I'm thinking I got yellow crookneck squash, and I've got problems. But when you know what you're putting in the ground, you know what you anticipate to get out of that, all right? That's in nature. The God who created that put it there to teach us, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. What issue of life does that answer for us? Why did that happen to me? Why did that happen to me? Why did this come into my life? Why do things happen to people in their lives? Why does that happen to them? See, the sowing and reaping principle, that eliminates the luck principle. Well, they were just lucky or unlucky. That eliminates the principle of, hey, things happen, just happened. Just came out of nowhere from no reason, for no, absolutely no explanation whatsoever, and it just happened. No, we reap what was sown. Eliminates all these principles that people seem to live by today of happenstance and, oh, that was an accident. That should have never happened. But it does reinforce a principle we know and we use sometimes, which is everything happens for a reason. But sometimes we think that reason is like a mystery that comes out of nowhere. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. See, you think about that this morning very carefully for just a moment. Everything that happens to us in our lives and comes to us in our life is a direct result of somebody sowed a seed, we sowed a seed, and there is a result for that. You say, no, that's not how it is, Pastor Johnson. I don't embrace that. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Why do you think he stamped it upon nature? So no one can say, it just happens. So no one can say, well, that's not the way it is. God said, I wrote it in my word. I put it on the stamp of nature. You can go to any corner of this planet and I will show you that you reap what you sow. And God said, I will not be mocked about this. Now, it's an important principle. Now, I want you to listen very carefully this morning. We may not have asked for this. We may not have wanted it. We may think that it was caused by just some unusual reason. But everything comes to in our lives as a product of sowing and reaping. And if we don't agree, we mock God. And that I would not recommend. So then let's get this principle this morning. Very important. Number one. Every action or inaction in my life is a seed. Every action or inaction. So I didn't do anything to bring that on. Did you do nothing when you should have been doing something? Action and inaction. Whatever I have done or what I should have done and didn't do is a seed. Every one of them. You planted a seed this morning. You came to church. That's a good seed. You planted that seed. That was an action. Later on tonight, 6 o'clock, we're going to find out whether it's action or inaction. Tomorrow morning, you get up, your life, every day of your life, you are sowing seed by everything that you do, or you're sowing seed by everything you don't do. Well, I got no reason why God should do anything in my life because I haven't had anything to do with God. Your inaction has been a seed you have sown, and now there is a result for that. Every action or inaction is a seed. Every one of them. Because you reap only what you sow. Well, I didn't put anything in the ground. Then you get nothing. And there is a result for the nothing. Yes? How would it be in our lives if all of a sudden all the farmers decide they're not planting anymore? They're not going to put anything in the ground. You can just go out there and find it. We're foragers. What do they call them? Fruitarians. People who believe, that's not Michael Jackson fans. It means people who don't believe you're supposed to plant and grow anything. You're supposed to just go find it. And it's supposed to just fall on the ground because you're not supposed to pick it. And you only take it after it falls off. There's not a lot of them. They starve to death. But and that's what they, that's their life, their principle. So they're out there in the bushes digging around hoping something hits the ground. And if you cook a carrot, you murdered it or something. I don't know what the deal is with that. But can you imagine the principle of what happened to us if people stopped sowing? You see, inaction is also a seed. So now look at me. So we can't just say, well, I'm not going to do that, so then I'm not doing anything wrong. Yes, you are. The inaction is just as much an action as an action. Every action or inaction in my life, every one of them is a seed that will be reaped one day. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Also realize this about this sowing reaping principle and how it affects our lives. Most people are deceived by this principle. They think, well, no, that's not how the Bible says be not deceived. Well, how could you be deceived on such a great, a simple principle as you reap what you sow? How could that deceive us? Well, there's several reasons. Look at me. There's the denial of the harvest. I do something or I don't do something I should have done. Later on, something comes to my life as a direct result of that, and I say, well, that's not because of what I did. They deny it. I didn't plant that. Ladies and gentlemen, we spend hours fertilizing, watering, and tending grass in good soil and can't hardly get it to grow, but them cotton-picking weeds grow on the side of the house. I didn't plant that. I didn't plant those weeds in the cracks in the sidewalk. I didn't plant that. See, we think, well, we deny the harvest. It comes in, and there is a reason for it, because we somewhere along, we either sowed the seed for that, or we didn't sow the seed we should have, or we didn't do something we should have done, and the harvest comes in, and we are deceived because we say, yeah, but that's not my fault. Yeah, but I didn't do that. I didn't bring that about in my life. That's not what I did. And that's what many people are doing today. That's why they're blaming everything on society, the government, and everything's a disease. You know, you got the disease of this, you got the disease of that, and how they, you know, the economy is creating people who want to commit more crime because of the tough economy. No, we got people who are just crooked and they're dishonest and that's what they're doing. And they were crooked when the economy was good and they were crooked when the economy was bad. And so they don't want to take personal responsibility. So they deny the harvest. They just say, that's not my fault. My mom put my diaper on too tight when I was little. My dad didn't play catch it up with me in the backyard. My brother shaved my head, called me bald. He took pictures of me and showed it to my first girlfriend, and nothing's been right since then. That's what it's all about. Huh? Escapism. Blame game. I'm codependent. I got all these issues in my life. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. And why are so deceived? Because they deny the harvest. They're also deceived because there's a delay in the harvest. You put tomato seeds in the ground today, you're not getting tomatoes tomorrow. You're going to get plants and then the sprouts and then you got to work on them stupid flowers to get them to set and all that stuff. It's going to take a bit. Yes? Planted gardens with our kids when they were small, and we were living in the Cottonwood area at the time over there, and some of the soil in our backyard was just rocks. So I got some railroad ties, bought a bunch of good soil, threw it in the railroad ties, made a big garden, planted the, cut the furrows and set around, planted some seedlings and things, and got the kids out there, and they were helping me, and we watered them all in, put the little tags on there, and on the end of the rows so we know green beans, squash, and you know strawberries, and all these sort of things. And finished, and our youngest was very small then, and he helped me, and we were hosing everything down and getting it good and wet. And when we were done, I started to go into the house, and he was squatted down and watching it. I said, what are you doing, bro? He goes, watching it grow. He says, how soon we get green beans, Daddy? I go, oh, son, we got, what, 6 weeks, maybe? 4 or 6 weeks? He looked at me like, what? All this work? We're not going to get anything out of this thing for a month? I said, yeah. It's in the grocery store. I don't know what we're doing out here. What's the point of all this? Now, there's a delay. Now, look here. See, today, we are reaping what we sowed months ago, years ago. We put something in the ground. Or there was something we should have put in the ground, we didn't. And now the harvest is coming in, and the delay has caused us to have a little bit of amnesia. But we just don't seem to quite understand that. Why are people deceived? The denial, the delay of the harvest, the difference in the harvest. You put tomato seed in the ground. Do you notice you don't really get, you get the seeds back in a different way, but you get fruit instead of seed. Sometimes it looks a little different than what you put in there. It's the same product. There's a little difference in that harvest, though. Well, I may have done some things I shouldn't do, but I didn't do that. Question. Do we think that when we put a tomato seed in the ground, we want a tomato seed back? No, I don't want a seed back. I want tomatoes. You put corn seed in the ground, you don't want corn seed. You want corn. You're anticipating getting more than what you've sown. And the difference will sometimes cause us to say, that's not my, hey, no, I didn't do that. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And every action or inaction in my life, that's the seed I've planted. And it's going to come up. So we can play the blame game and we can deny it. We can blame it. We can point it. We can shove it off onto somebody else. We can complain about bad harvest time. But the bottom line is, I reap what I sow. Now I want you to look carefully at these verses with me. And we'll finish on this thought today. And that is, there are two ways to sow. See what it says there in verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. And then it says in verse 8, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Ah, two kinds of sowing, two kinds of harvest. Huh? Sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. You know what corruption means here? The deterioration of human flesh after death. You ever smell dead stuff? Doesn't that smell good? You maybe got one of those incense candles that says death on it. And you light it in the house to give the fragrance of death in your house. Right? Because it's so pleasant. Today, if you walk out there and something dead underneath your car, it's going to make you think about going to lunch. Huh? I ran over a skunk one time. Yeah. I couldn't sell that car. I mean, it was awful. It was a rainy day, stupid thing, ran out the road, ran him over. And sure enough, that boy blasted my car, and we were on our way to church. We were running through mud puddles, everything I could think of with that car, trying to get that smell off of there. Nothing would get rid of it. You know what, ladies and gentlemen, the truth of the matter is, the Bible says over here on this side of this harvest, if you sow to your flesh that carnal, wicked stuff, from it you're going to get joy and happiness and peacefulness and contentment and everything you ever wanted. You're going to get the corruption of death in your life. That's what's going to happen. You sow to flesh, you get corruption from flesh. Look at me. Things just keep falling apart. They don't stay together. They don't work. Nothing works out. Every relationship corrupts. It has the smell of death on it. Because I have sown to my flesh, and flesh will produce corruption. Then it says, but if you sow to the Spirit, you reap life everlasting. Now, this is not salvation now. Salvation is a gift. You don't sow to salvation. You accept salvation as the gift which God has given you. Jesus died to give you the gift of salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift, friend. We don't earn this gift. Jesus paid for this gift. He gives it to us, paid for by His precious blood, given to us by His resurrection. We trust Him by faith. We receive it as a gift. So what's life everlasting? Is it eternal life? No, it's life that ever lasts. It's the stuff people keep telling us to do. Go get a life. There you go. There you go. Those same people keep telling you go get a life. They don't know where to go get one. They're telling you that hoping they'll follow you so they can find out where you go get yours. Because they don't have one either. But the Bible says you sow to the Spirit. That means you do what the Bible tells you to do. Guess what you get? You get a life that lasts. That's everlasting, that just keeps going on and on. And hey, guess what? Gets better and better as time goes on. Gets richer and sweeter. You don't get bored. You don't get burned out. You're not stressed out. You're not falling apart. Life is good for the child of God. If you keep sowing to the Spirit, you reap life. Okay, here it is. This is a very difficult thing to ask you right before we go to Hometown Buffet. Here is the question. What would you like, the corruption of death or life that keeps going on its good? What were my choices again? Corruption of death, life that never lasts. And what was this one over here again? Seriously, right here in this room this morning, there are people sitting here going, yeah, but I don't really think it's going to be like that bad. Oh, I need to stick you in a room with a dead body. It's been there about, a month and a half. About 80 degrees temperature in that room, locked up, shove you in there for, I don't know, what, 30 seconds? You'll come flying into that room saying, that's what that is? That's what it is! Look at life crumbling, falling apart, the corruption and the filth of the product of sin. That's what happens when you sow to the flesh. That's what you get over here, you do what the Bible says, sow to that spirit. The Bible says you get life that keeps on living, everlasting life, and life that ever lasts. It endures the storms and the troubles and the trials and the difficulties and the valleys and the battles and all of it. It's still life. You go through battles, you go through troubles, you go through difficulties, but you still have a life that's worth living, and the harvest continues to come in. Ladies and gentlemen, look at me this morning. You and I are going to make our choices of what kind of harvest we're going to get. And the issues of our life of, why did that happen to me? It's because somewhere in the ground we put the seed of action or inaction that brought that result. You ever just get amazed how good God is? And how, look at me, how blessed we really are in our lives. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, I guess it's just because some of us are lucky. Lucky? Now, some people just decided, I'm just going to keep sowing to what God tells me to do. And God, who will not be mocked, will see to it. Whatsoever I have sown, I will reap. See, we use that great statement and we thunder out about wickedness and sin. And we should. Because that's what's happening, pal. That's what's happening in our society today. That's what's happening in our homes. That's what's happening in our churches. That's what's happening in our lives. We are reaping what we have sown. On the other hand, you realize, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a nation, America today, where we have the blood of patriots who have sown the seeds of our freedom. And we are enjoying the benefit of that freedom because they sowed for us. They're doing it today. In Iraq and Afghanistan, the four corners of this earth, defending our liberties and our freedoms. That's a seed that's sown. We are reaping the harvest of that. That's a cost. That's a price. Both of them cost you something. Neither one of them are free. Both require an effort, and all of them require a decision. And it's a daily decision in our lives. Look at verse 9 and finish this morning. And let us not be weary in well-doing. See, God makes the decision for you. He didn't say, let us not be weary in sowing the flesh. He said, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Boy, there's nothing like fresh tomatoes right off the vine. Woo! Green beans, pick them right out of the garden, snap them, bring them in the house, cook them up and I'm already missing summer because summer you get all the fruit. Tomatoes, and I mean, tomato is a fruit, by the way. And you get cantaloupes and watermelons and peaches and pluots. I got into pluots the other day. Remember pluot, Brother Evans? Combination of a plum and an apricot. Man, that thing is good. You put enough ice cream on top of that, it's delicious. But no, just like God made it. I'm already missing all that stuff because it's about to run its course. Not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. If we faint not, weary in what? Weary in accepting the fact. Look here. All of us have sown to the flesh, and all of us are experiencing in some degree a harvest of that stuff. But in the process, we're sowing to the Spirit, and we've got a little mixed harvest going here. Some of that fleshly stuff is coming in. And we've got the seed in the ground to the Spirit. We're not to be weary now. Don't get weary and think, well, I'm still having some trouble from the stuff. Don't worry. That'll run its course. It'll go off. It'll run its course. It'll be done now. Just keep sowing over here. Don't let us not be weary in well-doing. Keep putting the seed in the right ground, friend. And then don't faint. Don't, well, I'm doing this, Pastor Johnson. I'm not immediately seeing what I want to see. Keep sowing the seed. Don't stop. Keep sowing, keep sowing, keep sowing. God said he will not be mocked. We will reap what we have sown. God will bring it in. It'll happen. It is happening, it will happen, and it will continue. And that harvest will outrun you farther than you could possibly imagine. You get one tomato seed in the ground, and what do you get? You get tomato after tomato after tomato after tomato from one seed. That's God saying, you just keep putting that right seed in the right place. Your actions or inactions need to be sown to the things of God. Stop sowing to the stuff that brings the corruption of death, and God will bring it about. And when we reap what we have sown to the side of life we should not have sown it to, don't deny that junk. Don't say, well, it was my fault. Just say, Father, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And put some good seed in the ground over here. Let this thing run its course. It will. And when it's done, you'll have stuff come in your life that you could exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. All things work together for good to them that love God. To them are the called according to his purpose. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. As a boy in a drunkard's home in this town, I could not even have begun to hope or imagine as a kid watching mother and stepfather come home drunk every night and drink every night and watch them fight. Watch that man, he beat us when we were children. I could not have imagined lying in bed at night and hearing cursing and swearing and fighting and no piece of furniture in our house that wasn't busted. I could not have imagined in my life as a boy that God would give me the life I have today. Could not have imagined it. Couldn't even see it. But in his mercy and his grace, he allowed me to put some seed in the right place. And now, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.